So welcome everyone. It's lovely to see you here. Thank you for being here. And just to let you know, this is being recorded. The recording that goes out will only go out to people who registered for this call, and only the audio goes out. So if you're a little bit camera shy, no need. There's friendly people here. The video does not go out. I'm going to kind of do a bit of housekeeping. Well, this is the housekeeping, just in case people are still joining us. The shape of today's conversation will be I'll lead a short inquiry, a kind of meditative inquiry. And then I'll reflect on the topic, if you like, of this webinar. And I have to keep reminding myself, but basically, what always springs to mind is this. That the way to live life, the way to experience life opening up, the way to experience ideas for what you'd like to create to come into form, the way to live in such a way and experience peace and happiness, it's always the same answer, and which is to be open. To be open. So we're going to look at that, what that idea actually translates as a lived experience, and how we can cultivate and nourish that inner posture of openness. And then we'll open up for your questions. And that's where my favorite bit about any conversation is where it's a shared exploration, and you bring your perspective and your insights and how it looks to you. And then we take a look together to see what arises in this space. Whenever we get together in this kind of a space of inquiry, of sincere, often decades of searching, of spiritually motivated, spiritually driven interest in essentially what are we here for? Who are we and what are we here for? This interest is shared here energetically, vibrationally. It is the interest of life. Life is always saying, what else is there? What's here to happen? So we share in this what's here to happen question as we, gather in on Zoom. But really, we're in a non-localized. We're in a space that we all are in energetically. There's no separation, and depending, even though you appear to be in separate boxes, there's no separation in the field. And so there's this lovely cultivation of a harmonious point of inquiry. So any question that we bring into this kind of conversation is, oh, it really can draw on the field, the larger amplified field represented by each of you, joining forces in the direction of this question: who am I? What am I really here for? So even if you think your question doesn't qualify, or it's kind of silly, there's no silly questions. Bring your questions, because you'll get more than you expect in a good way. And it may not be obvious, that something has come your way, but the unfolding will be changed. Your unfolding going forward will be changed by your participation. Okay, looks like the queue has died down. So I'd like to begin and lead us into a short guided meditation. It's an inquiry. You might like to close your eyes for this. I'm going to keep a little eye open in case anybody else is trying to get in. So, closing the eyes, helping to reduce the stimulation and often the distraction of the visual imagery, the activity of the optic nerve, and closing the eyes gently. And the capacity to see, which is to perceive, to experience, even the capacity to see or experience an image right now with eyes closed, meaning to see on your inner mind screen, to see in your imagination, to see intuitively, the capacity to see is not taken away when eyes are closed. So just to simply be in this moment, and bring to mind a feeling of not having accomplished your purpose. See if this feeling hangs around for you. Perhaps has led you to be here for this conversation. A feeling that you're here for something, to share of yourself, to express yourself with others in the world, and see if there is a feeling that gets triggered or that accompanies the feeling that you're here for a purpose that is contrary, that is oppositional, that is denying that you have achieved it, or denying that your impulse to share yourself is not valid. And as you call up any of these feelings without forcing a feeling, simply notice the texture, the tone, the sensation, and the feeling of what is arising. Simply notice if there are any memories arising, any stories or narrative about not having achieved or still wondering what you're here for. Simply let whatever images, sensations, storyline, commentary, feelings that are arising, no matter how subtle, to simply be here. And when we say notice, it is simply to notice. If there's any wanting to do something with these feelings, memories, sensations, simply notice the wanting to do something with or about what's arising. And let go, drop taking any action to do something with or about these feelings, to change them, transform them, improve them, deny them, bury them, analyze them. Is it possible to drop trying to do anything with or about whatever is arising in this moment? To simply open, to allow your noticing to be intimate, to allow your attention to move towards what there is in this moment of sensation, images, memory, narrative, some of which may have changed already, and simply let what is here simply be here, move towards it with openness, which is the absence of wanting to change, get rid of, improve, bury, avoid, or analyze. Openness is the absence of wanting to do something with what is arising within the space, the posture of openness. And see if you can relax into this openness. Drop any trying to be open and simply be open to being open, however that looks and feels. Simply be open to being shown, to realize. For openness to reveal itself. And again, we're going to circle around. Bring to mind any feeling, recent, current, lingering, persistent, that you are here for a purpose. You are here to share yourself, your gifts. And any accompanying feeling, if there is, or feeling that you've not achieved yet, you haven't yet met this that you've come here for, that you've fallen short or haven't even yet started, and there's some kind of sense of dissatisfaction, some agitation, irritation about being here to achieve your purpose. And could you allow simply whatever sensations, feelings, images, memories, narrative, commentary that is stirred up about this? About this sense of purpose or not achieving it? And could you let these feelings, sensations, images simply be here? Is it possible to move towards these feelings, sensations, images with openness? Check, investigate, is it possible? Even just a nanosecond of openness for what's arising. Openness being the absence of trying to do something with or about feelings, sensations, images, commentary, analysis, or storyline, or memories. An absence of trying to do anything with or about what's arising. Is it possible to simply be open? And if there's a sense of contraction, of being closed, could you allow this feeling of being closed to be here? Is it possible to open to move towards the feeling of being closed? Is it possible to drop trying to change or get rid of a feeling of being closed? And underneath all that's arising, check and see if any feeling, sensation, image that has been arising feels personal, feels like it's got something to do with you or says something about you or limits or describes you in some way. And if there's a feeling that what's arising is personal, is it possible to let the feeling of this is personal simply be here? Is it possible to open to the feeling of this is personal without trying to change, improve, avoid, get rid of, or analyze the feeling this is personal? Is it possible to simply open? Is it possible to relax as openness? Is it possible to simply let whatever remains as a sensation or an image or a narrative, as a feeling, to simply come and go, come and go. Is it possible to feel openness expanding even more, opening more, widening more? Is it possible to feel only spaciousness? Only spaciousness. Wide openness. No limit to the openness. No attempt, no activity of trying to change, fix, analyze, complete, achieve. Simply being open. And being open. Being open. And without losing touch entirely with this that you've discovered, slowly begin to become conscious of the sensations associated with the body sitting. Become conscious of the space that you're sitting in, both in the physical space and in the online space. And when you're ready, allowing your eyes to open. Okay, thank you. Thank you for joining in that. So let me reflect a little with a reflection about openness and how it relates to the idea of saying yes to life. Yes to all that life has to offer. Yes to all that we are. Yes to sharing and being all that we are. How to facilitate that posture, that generosity of being, that yes, the life that is one of a sharing and a giving. It seems to me that the feeling that there's more to life, that we are here for some kind of purpose, that we're here to share, express something that only we can, is completely true. I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm inviting you to take a look. Seems to me it's true, it's natural. So, because we can think of ourselves like acorns. We come into life and it's like being an acorn. And we know that in the acorn contains the potential, the blueprint, the template for growing an oak tree. So the acorn comes in and it is the potential, it represents the potential to express as an oak tree. But we are different from acorns, of course, because what can sometimes happen is that the feeling of this potential, the intuitive knowing of this potential that we contain, something that needs to be expressed, that is here to be expressed. We can turn that feeling into something that irritates us, that niggles us, that bothers us, that stresses us, because we try to get it right, whatever it is we're expressing, and we can spend a long time spinning our wheels. Have I got the right purpose? Or we get hold of an idea of what it is that there is that we are having, holding, and are here to share in potential, and then we come in with thoughts that we're not up to it, we're not good enough. Yeah. Or we have a go at taking action towards our purpose, and then we find that we've got some obstacles, and we take the obstacles as proof that, well, maybe I'm wrong, maybe this is not my purpose. So we kind of are less intelligent than acorns, I think, really, because acorns, once the conditions are ripe enough, Once there's enough water and sunshine, there's no stopping it. The acorn just bursts open and doesn't get in the way of itself. It doesn't sort of open up halfway and go, oh, I don't like this. I don't like this that's coming out. I don't like being an oak tree. I want to be a willow tree. Yeah, the acorns don't do that to themselves. So it seems to me we're not as intelligent as acorns, because we can often get in the way of what is already here with us, what we are in potential. If there's an idea that you know what your purpose is, but you're not getting going on it, that I'm going to offer you that that's not the issue. If you have loads of ideas about what your purposes are, don't know where to start, I'm going to invite you to consider that's not the issue. That's not the problem. Yeah. Because just like the oak tree is in the acorn, the purpose is already here. It is already here. The issue, if you like, is that what is inevitable, we look at the acorn, the expression of the potential that's in the acorn is inevitable given the right ingredients, water, some minerals in the soil and sunshine, some really simple things, and the acorn breaks open and expresses. So the expression of what we're here for is inevitable. Thriving can happen in poverty. You'll see, we see the pictures of children in Sudan or wherever, completely malnourished, and yet the photographer has just caught that moment with the child and has a connection, and light is shining out of the child's eyes. It takes a lot to really, my sense is it's not possible to annihilate and destroy what we're here for. The opportunities that we are here to realize our potential, express, sooner rather than later. The issue is that what is inevitable, a free expression of our purpose, can become hijacked and distorted by unconscious beliefs that we take on early in life from caregivers, from society, from educators, from family, from culture. But what I'm going to offer you here is that we don't have to spend years and years in personal processing or therapy to dig up unconscious beliefs and destroy them, or spend thousands of hours trying to reprogram our beliefs. We don't have to push or manipulate ourselves to perform, to express. We simply are invited to occupy an energetic posture of yes, of openness. And this posture of yes, this openness, is not an opposite of no. The inner posture of yes is the shape of openness, is the shape of openness. And again, we don't need to spend years and years and years learning and forming this posture of openness, this internal yes to life posture. We are born as it. Think of a newborn, completely open, innocent. There is no mental, conceptual judging going on. The baby doesn't yet have language or the concept of so-called right and wrong, good and bad. What there is openness. What there is curiosity. And what there is attention and learning happening. And that's all inbuilt. We are built to learn. Our nervous system is hardwired to learn. And we see how, in the early years of a child's growth, we see how rapid their learning is because there's incredible openness to life. Whether that life, that environment that they're living in is highly supportive or somewhat lacking in love and resources, that child makes use of that environment and learning happens. At least we can see it happen at the fundamental levels of talking, begin language is acquired, and walking happens. And these are incredible, miraculous learning events. And the child has no preparation for it, doesn't read the instruction manual, and walking begins to happen. Learning is natural for the child. So already at that level, the template of what they're here for, what their purpose is going to incorporate, language, walking, this is simply starting to express. It's not something the child is working hard to achieve or trying to attain a certain standard, not yet at least, because they're not under the rules and regulations of culture or education yet. It's just a completely natural expression occurring of walking and talking. Now, for good or bad, and it's all part of the design, the free expression of our potential as walking and talking and learning comes under the influence of the beliefs of the family, of educators, of culture, society. And these influences of the beliefs of others and the rules and regulations of culture, together with a child mind that doesn't know the play of the world fully yet. So a child mind can come to incomplete conclusions about themselves and about how life works. So this natural expression, which is highly intelligent and miraculous, can become distorted if the beliefs are not true, if the beliefs haven't been examined to be relevant for the child, if the beliefs are rigid, dogmatic, and if the beliefs are conditional, which they usually are, meaning you've got to believe what we believe, otherwise you won't be loved. So we come under the influence of beliefs that influence the free expression of our potential. And then this natural free expression to explore the world, learn, and discover how we're here for a particular sharing of self is distorted by these beliefs that are being taken on and that are living in the unconscious. That the free expression that in early life expresses miraculously as walking and talking, the development of this free expression can become distorted by unconscious beliefs. Well, it will be distorted. So this free expression and the impulse to express, instead of launching from openness, that the child is an absence of beliefs, an absence of an idea about self, a lacking self. The launch pad of openness allows for a clean expression of what we're here for the unfolding of that template, just like the unfolding of the acorn into an oak tree is clean and consistent. Always the oak tree, the oak tree, the oak tree. A clean expression happens to the degree to which we become free of unconscious limiting beliefs. The thing about cultivating being open is that openness is not a manufacturing of a reality. Openness is our true nature, is what we're born as, is our true nature. So we don't have to get distracted, sometimes for years and decades, trying to dig up unconscious beliefs and reprogram ourselves. We simply need to open to what we came in as, to cultivate being open, like the newborn, where there were no, are no obstructions to expressing this openness. What are we opening to? We're opening to essence. Depending on your language, we're opening to the soul, the soul's purpose. We're opening to pure potential. The oak tree is already contained within the acorn. Whatever it is in form, whatever is the nature of the expression that we're here for and how we share it, is already contained within openness, within the openness that we consider to be my openness, if you like. And this openness, this potential, is free of the distortion of limiting beliefs. It already contains all the instructions, just as the baby learns how to walk without reading the instruction manual. The instruction manual, the way to create, to get into action, to manifest, to build in a way of sharing, in a way of living, in a way of even forming a career, the purpose in the shape of a career, all of the steps. The direction of travel is contained within us. The more we anchor in and as openness, the more the expression of our potential will be free and clean and clear of the distortions of unconscious limiting beliefs. So when there's a feeling of holdback, dissatisfaction, spinning your wheels, failure, sabotage, anything of this order that is leading to the conclusion you're not fulfilling what you're here for, this feeling is a clue. It's just a clue that there's some unconscious limiting belief that is being triggered right now. And this is not an invitation to go into therapy and try and dig your unconscious beliefs out. It's simply to open. It's to open to the sensations, the discomfort, the distress, the upset, the agitation, the irritation, to open, open, open. Not try to change, get rid of, or do anything with the content of the that's arising with an openness. It's to rest, relax back, and soften in and as being open. And there is a re-anchoring in and as your true nature, in and as the pure potential of your being, of your soul, what the soul came for, what you're here for. So that I hope is filling out this idea of openness and saying yes to life. And I'm sure that if you've been listening from a deeper place than just your head, you recognize where there is and where there's not a connection with these ideas and what you're resonating with. So, and if you're not sure about that, like I will guarantee that you are already connecting with these ideas. I'd love to hear where you're at. What's unfolding? How is the unfolding going? Is it smooth? Is it flowing? Is there some obstacle? Does it look like you're off track? Let's share and see how we can together pull our insights and have some revelation today. You can unmute yourself to come in, and then we'll take it from there.
Hi, good to see you, Fiona.
Hi, Doreen. Great to see you. Yeah.
I'm feeling my life is really a journey of exploring openness. I've been dealing with chronic pain now for 9 years and no resolution. In fact, it's going the other way. And I'm really feeling now it's my journey is about openness, about spaciousness. Not always feeling it, but it's just sort of following the roller coaster and I guess learning to be okay with what comes up and like you said, sort of being open to what comes. And it just feels like it's just a spiral that keeps taking me higher. And I hope at some point the physical pain resolves itself, but it just feels like this is my purpose working with this.
Thank you for that. And I'm curious when you say that there's learning is happening, what is being learned?
Probably feels almost more like an unlearning. It's just more of a feeling of presence. Feeling held, feeling more an openness all around me, just feeling a deeper connection with love, with spirit, that comes and goes. And I just kind of watch myself sometimes really being in that space and other times really being taken out with frustration and so on. But I guess I've been learning just not to judge what comes and just, yeah,
Yeah, I like
just
that. The
knowing that whatever I'm feeling will change.
I love the way you put that. It's not so much a learning. It's as much an unlearning as it is a learning. Yeah. An unlearning of unlearning judging. Unlearning wanting things to be only a certain way. Wanting things to go the way you want them to go. An unlearning of that. And unlearning that the experience of being presence, openness, spaciousness, love, that it is by opening, by not judging, not chasing after a certain experience, that the lived experience of presence, spaciousness occurs, returns again and again. At the deepest level, I would say to you and everyone that the fundamental, essential invitation in response to the feeling that there's more to life, that you're here for something, that there's a purpose that you've come in to accomplish, that what this really points to fundamentally is to discover the openness of our nature, that what we are is presence, that what we are is love, that what we are is peace. This is our real purpose. And when we're on this journey of openness, and as you described, Doreen, there's a return and a return and a return to this openness, presence, and peace. So the anchoring in and out of presence and openness and peace occurs again and again and again and again and again and keeps deepening. Then, if there's interest in pursuing something in the world in the form of an activity, a way of sharing, a way of expressing in a material sense, in some way of service or creating an object, or building a career, that's a byproduct. That's a byproduct. That is not the ultimate purpose. It's a byproduct of the ultimate purpose, which is to know our being, to know that what we are is openness, presence, peace, unconditional love. So in modern culture, there's a kind of hypnosis that our purpose is a material purpose. It's something in the world, it's something created. It's a business, it's a corporation, it's building this or creating stuff. Yeah. And there's a certain madness to that, because no sooner has mankind reached the moon, mankind wants to go to Venus or somewhere else. There's a madness. There's no end to that. And if there's a waiting to feel satisfied until that material manifestation is manifested, it's an endless path. Because dissatisfaction with the stuff happens sooner rather than later, more often with a fast-moving world. Whereas when we explore this idea of purpose, whether we feel we're out of the starting blocks in doing something to create something material in the world, whether we're out of the starting blocks or not, whether we feel completely stuck and we just feel we're not doing our purpose at all, the sense of dissatisfaction, the sense of uncomfortableness about this, when we open to it, when we open to the dissatisfaction, leads us to the ultimate purpose, which is to experience openness, to experience more and more peace and presence and unconditional love and satisfaction and contentment. We cannot lose when we allow the ultimate purpose of life to be what we are dedicated to. The ultimate purpose is to know ourselves as openness. And some of you, I'm sure you've heard me say this, that, and it's been said many times across millennia, that encapsulated in, I think, was it Gandhi who said, if you want to be the change that you want to see in the world, whatever it is that you feel you're here for, to create in the world, first of all, be it. Be it. Be this openness. And that's the ultimate offering. Thank you, Doreen, for that.
Thank you. Fiona?
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. I don't think this is off topic. I do fully know that my purpose is to be loving and peaceful and open. And I can just feel such profound gratitude and completeness just sitting on my sofa or sitting on my deck and looking at a tree. That does not feel like a stretch to me. However, at the same time, I'm quite interested in the world around us. Not that I think it will make me better or happier or more peaceful, but I think music is fun. I think seeing new places is fun. I think lots of things interest me, and I find I'm not doing much of that. Part of it is physical limitations. And part of it is I've just got more excuses than you could come up with about why I shouldn't go out of my house to go to a picnic at a concert I want to go to. So
I'd like some perspective if you could help me with that.
So already what's occurring is that to sit on your deck and share space with an oak tree or a tree is experienced as all you need in that moment. It's
Yes.
full, it's full, it's content.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes, yes.
Beautiful. It's so simple, so easy. Yeah. Now there's also an awareness that there is an interest in music and certain activities in the world. There is an interest also when that interest is alive, there's an interest in music, an interest in getting together with friends and so on. And sometimes that happens. The interest flows into a behavior aligned with the interest. And there's meeting friends and going to music events happen when they do. And there's not a going to these events thinking that you've got to go to these events in order to be happy. No, that's been unlearned. I've got to do this before I can be happy. Has been unlearned. It's just an interest to go.
It just seems like it's a big, beautiful world. And
Yes. What is?
want some more of it.
Yeah, why not? So that's it. So when we are more and more anchored and rooted, and or more and more, I mean, there's a return more and more, more often for longer periods of time to being open. To saying yes to life, to being at peace. The interest in the world doesn't fall away. There's a yes to life. There's a yes to all of the all that life is, what's going on. It's going to give me an interest. Yeah. And sometimes we just let ourselves open to that interest. And we let that be clean, meaning let the interest be clean as opposed to getting distorted by, I've got to do something with this. I've got to do something about this. Or I can't possibly do something about that. You know, there can be invisible holdbacks, you see. Let the interest be clean. It's just obvious that, oh, that some interests carry on as a trajectory into behavior, aligning with the interest. And it's clean. The behavior is clean. It's not fraught with lots of thinking. Why am I doing this? I shouldn't be doing this thinking. It's just clean. Oh, I'm going to go to that art gallery. Oh, I can go on Tuesday. It's kind of clean. It's easy. And there's nothing attached to it along the lines of, this is my purpose. I've got to fulfill it, and I can't be happy unless I've fulfilled it. It's completely clean. Now you're noticing that on occasion, what there is interest in, then comes a thought storm, a lot of noise. Why should I do that? I don't know. Why am I doing that? I'm not cut out for that. Or what? Why would I want to get up out of my cozy chair and do that? There's lots of objections. Now here's the opportunity, because that moment is not clean.
Yeah, I hear that. I remember that. I'm kind of thinking we've talked about this.
Maybe. Oh, I only say about
Okay.
five things over and over.
Yeah.
So no worries there. Always forgettable. That's what we keep in practice. So, and I'm not asking you to believe anything I say. So just. So where we notice that the experience is not clean. Now, you and I may have talked about it. I've certainly talked about it with some of you in newsletters and so on. So just that idea of what do you mean by not clean? It's a feeling. It's an energetic. It's a relationship. But since you are attuned here, I'll go here. I think others are intuitively getting what is being said here. Where you feel it's not a clean moment. Where the head's not aligned with the heart, where the interest that feels genuine doesn't follow through cleanly with actions and behavior that are in alignment. Yes, there's a lot of noise and distortion. There you have your opportunity. There, that jumbled upness, that uncomfortableness, that sticky moment, that awkward moment, that's what you open to. Take a moment. Could you open to the feelings, sensations, memories, sounds? Could you drop trying to do anything about or with this awkwardness, this stickiness, this stuckness? Could you just let it be? Could you open beyond it? Could you rest as openness? Now there's a return happening here to being with the oak tree, being perfectly content. There's a return to openness, which says yes to life. Return there, anchor there. Don't get caught up in unintentionally feeding unconscious beliefs. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. Blah, 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 blah. Return to openness. Then allow what is of interest to arise fresh. It might be that interest of 10 minutes ago arises now fresh and clean. And there's a readiness now for that to extend its trajectory as a fresh thought. Oh, what day is it open? Let me give them a call. Taking action now in alignment with the idea about the art gallery, whatever it is. Or it could be a different but a fresh idea comes up. Oh, actually, what's even more true of what's interesting now is to go and visit my friend around the corner. It's a new moment. But what we're after, what's being cultivated is the what's of interest. What you feel you're here for right now is arising cleanly and continuing in its trajectory into behavior and actions that have got a cleanness about them.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very helpful.
Now, don't try, just one more thing for you and everyone. Don't try and be a perfectionist about this. If you feel you're underway, the trajectory going into action is now underway and it's starting to be a bit sticky. Don't feel like, oh, I've got to go back all the way to the beginning. No. You open as you go, open as you go, open as you go. You don't have to drop what you're up to. You can continue with a sticky action, a somewhat awkward action. You're not undermining yourself. Be aware at the same time that some awkwardness is happening, that some noise is triggered in the head, and you keep there's a keeping on going happening. Be aware of all of it, open to all of it. And you might end up visiting your friend around the corner, and as soon as you get there, everything clears and you have a great time. So don't let a moment of stickiness halt the action, unless it does. Sometimes it's like I'm really overwhelmed with suddenly feeling completely inadequate, and I had to go and hide under the comforter for 2 hours. When that happens, it happens. But we can, unlearn these sticky moments as we go. We just stay faithful to what arose, as far as we could tell, as a clean, genuine interest, and we can stay faithful to that. Because this unlearning that Doreen has spoken so eloquently about, so much is happening in the way of unlearning that we're not even aware of consciously. We're designed, our being, our system is designed to unlearn and relearn and unlearn and relearn as we go. You can see this with little children when learning to walk. They're learning and unlearning all the time. When falling down happens, a sticky moment, an awkward moment, they don't go back to the beginning. They don't start off, go back to right at the beginning of not being able to walk again and then start over again. They're not in any mind, I've got it wrong, I've got to start over. They just are continuing. They're not even aware. The baby child is not even aware what is being unlearned and relearned and refined, unlearned and refined, unlearned and refined, unlearned and perfected, unlearned and strengthened. They're not aware of anything. They're not preoccupied with that at all. They just keep on with the impulse because the impulse keeps arising to stand up and have a go. So we certainly can learn as we go. It's not about getting the clean trajectory all the way nice and shiny clean. What we're saying is, though, that when the launch pad is from openness, so meaning we do cultivate openness as we go, which might sometimes require us to pause and take a day off, literally. I'm going to not try that today and just be open. We get more and more inflow. Either way, you can't get this wrong. Openness, either on the go or openness where you take a break. But when you take a break, you're not starting over. You are continuing it on with the new learning that occurs in the opening again. Thank you for that question, Yvonne. There's always lots to the question. I'll stay another 5 minutes if there's a question here. Anybody else got a question or something you'd like to share or a recognition or an insight? Deborah,
Oops.
hi.
Hi. I was when you were talking about all this, I was reminded of after Doreen spoke that I had n noticed this morning or yesterday. I had a Facebook friend who basically has been suffering from long COVID for a long time, and she's very before she got caught up in that, she was very, very active and just did things all the time. But she had posted something about some of the artwork she was beginning to get back to because she had more time. She didn't have a professional, life because she had to take care of herself. But she posted something in that whole thing that said was a little quip, the lifestyle you requested is not available. And it was like, I'm like, oh, okay. And this is like what you've been talking about. And what I feel like I've been learning a lot of is I am not in control, and nothing I really do can control any outcome. If it's supposed to be, it will be. And it's just such a contrary position to take in the culture that we live in. And with all the things that we learn as we grow up. So, and I also, another thing that came up was I also had I did some, I have a whole thing about, wanting to do more art and never ever having enough time for various reasons. And I did take, before I adopted my daughter, like 20 years ago, I went to the Art Students League for a bit when I was in New York. And I'm in Oregon now, but I had a really wonderful modernist teacher who had amazing pieces, and he'd tell you how everything worked and how it would draw you through. And he always said something to the effect that a work of art is basically the trash, which is the result of the practice or process that you've gone through. And what's really important is the process, not what you get at the end. So he kind of like, he wasn't disparaging what he did, and he sold his stuff for a lot of money, but he viewed it as it what that wasn't why he did it. It was because it was the process he went through to get there. So I thought that was kind of a seemed like it was right along the same lines, and I had forgotten some of those things. So, because that was quite some time ago.
It's lovely joining those dots, Deborah. Yeah, this truth that is spoken of, it shows up in different areas of life. This wisdom, when a truth is universal, it can show up in an art class, in a meditation class, in a poem on the subway somewhere. We just keep our eyes and ears open. We start to see the truth everywhere. We resonate with it. Thank you so much for showing up, everyone. If there's an interest and you want a double dose of Fiona or this conversation, there'll be another meeting 5 o'clock Pacific time today. And I just wish you, yourself, more of yourself, more of the knowing of the being, the openness that you are, and to enjoy the sufficiency of that, the nurture and nourishment of the knowing of who you are. And then all that you create is simply the an unstoppable product, a byproduct, if you like. Yeah, but as Deborah pointed to, a beautiful, you know, creation. But it's really who you are and the journey of that which brings out that beauty. All right, I will see you some other time, folks. Thank you so much. Have a lovely rest of your day. Bye for now.
Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you all.
Bye.